adjustments, man. He's got a phenomenal physique.
Who are some of your favorite female athletes, whether they be underground athletes or otherwise nowadays? We've given so much talk to the guys.
Sid Gillen is just, I think the story of Sid Gillen is something that everybody should know.
Now, it's funny you say that, because she posted today, I guess she wore a back brace for scoliosis growing up. I had no idea.
You can see it in her back. That's not what I can see
in her back.
Yeah. So it's actually gotten better. But I tell you what, a couple years ago, Sarah and I were at a show in Miami. And Sid came out and Sarah said, "Who is that?" I said, "Who?" And we looked her up. And at the end of that show, we realized this girl is going to be something. And got to meet her, met her mom, met her dad. Phenomenal people, amazing family. Guys, if you don't know the story of Sid Gillen, find out. She is something special. She posted something, and my response was, "Hey, just let me know one day when you run for office, you've got my vote."
I could absolutely see it. I could absolutely see it.
Without a doubt. And if you've ever met her mom or dad, you would say, "Oh, I get it." The nicest, humblest, intellectual people you'll ever meet. And oh, by the way, I usually see them early in the morning at a gym in a hotel when her daughter's competing, besides the fact that they're incredibly intelligent, and them and all their kids went to Ivy League, and they're also exercising every morning, you know, because it's...
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far.
Right, exactly. You know, it's just what you do, you know. She's great at everything, and, you know, what...
The proof is in the pudding. No, she really is. She's good at life, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a great example. She's a great example. Great role model.
Now...
Absolutely.
Hold on, though, to kind of touch on the bodybuilding, we saw her at Arnold, Ohio, and Arnold, Australia, and she took second, yes?
Yes, she did.
Any thoughts?
She was a little off.
Okay.
Candace Lewis won both of those shows. Candace Lewis is on point right now.
Yeah, she's
looking. And I would say the competition between those two ladies is probably almost as thick as, you know, between Brandon and Andre. And you could probably throw, you know, Watts in there also.
With who?
Latoria.
Latoria Watts? Yeah.
If Latoria can bring her conditioning to match Sid and Candace's, then yes. If she doesn't, she won't be able to beat either one of them anymore. Latoria was the person who came out, and she's like a cartoon character. So her lines, her structure, you know, her balance, her symmetry was just out of this world. So she was easily Miss Olympia. Well, Candace and Sid came along and are very similar in structure, but are just that much more conditioned, that much tighter, that much harder, that much leaner. So until Latoria kicks that up a notch, now she's always going to be third to those two girls.
What do you think of women's...
And do you have any predictions? Go ahead.
I would say I can't imagine that Sid is going to lose.
Because Sid is the reigning champion.
She's the reigning champ. And I just can't imagine her losing three times in a row. And especially to the same person. Because it's going to be them one and two. Whichever way it goes, one and two.
Grind in silence.
So, I guess I'd say Sid retains her title,
and Candace finished in second.
How about women's physique? What do you think of these young guns of Shanique and Natalia?
Oh, I think it's amazing. I think those two are... Shanique is just too structurally superior right now. She's got a few more years under her belt than Natalia. Natalia comes in more condition, but Shanique's structure right now is just superior. But we have to see the two of them standing next to the champ. Everyone's always writing the champ off every year, Juliana, and all she does every year is quietly win. So I don't. Changing this year, I could, but will she get to the big stage finally? She hasn't.
And when you say that, you're talking right. You're talking about Shanique.
Okay. You finally made it to the Arnold. Great. Are you going to make it to the Olympia?
Will we finally see you right on the Olympia stage?
Right.
It's a legitimate concern. Hey, no.
Right. It hasn't been there yet. So show me
the past. Right. The past 2 years, something has happened that didn't make that possible. So no, it's a legitimate. Yeah, I absolutely get you.
But I could see it being her one, Juliana two, and Natalia being somewhere 3, 4, 5. She's still got growing to do. Natalia. She's young.
Yeah. How about fitness?
Oh, one of my favorite competitors, athletes, and people, Whitney Jones.
Yeah.
How does she do what she does?
Okay.
How does she...
just continually get better. Yeah, no.
Well, wait, how do you break your neck, not tell anyone, compete, come back, then the knee injury, don't tell anyone, compete, win... And now you're on rehab again. And by the way, again, we want. She's not 20.
Just one arm. Oh no, she's
With a torn knee. Torn knee.
Well into her 40s.
I just think she's something else, man. She had surgery the next day. She's rehabbing. Like wow.
Yeah, we had her on the show just very recently. She's phenomenal. Yeah, she has the most wonderful energy.
She's like a Wonder Woman. She's a superpower woman.
Yeah, she really is. She wills and manifests things.
Yeah. She's one of my favorite. So when I see her routines, John, when you ask about what I think about fitness, there's some fitness routines that still need some refining. And there's some fitness routines where when they're on, listen, don't talk to me, man. Look at what's going on stage right now.
Right.
How are you not watching this?
Right.
My phone is down. My notebook is down. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm watching that damn stage. And Whitney Jones is one of them. I mean, if she's going to be on stage, I'm watching that routine because it's going to be entertaining as hell.
Yeah. Back to the kind of looking at it as in a standing sort of thing. You can't count Regina out. Regina, I can never get the pronunciation. But Bethany.
De Silva.
Bethany.
Yeah.
Without Oksana, obviously it's kind of open, but Kate Arrington, Whitney's protege, here she took second.
Right.
Yeah, she took second in Columbus, went on to win in Australia, so it's kind of exciting time for fitness as well.
I really hope that Whitney walks away with the title, though. I think if anyone is deserving to be a champ and represent everything that a champion is, her personality, her attitude, how she treats other people, how she represents the sport, how she represents herself, how she bounces back from major injuries as if they were a you know, a cold, a hangnail or something. Yeah.
I just think everything about her persona as a person, as an athlete, even if it's only for a year, and I'm not saying it would be, but I hope that whatever happens, she is this year's Miss Olympia. I want her to at least feel that one time, because she definitely deserves it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but really, I wholeheartedly agree. I wish they could have a bunch of co-champions sometimes, because so many of these,
right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So many, yeah, of these fitness gals. You know, Bethany, I think, teaches, she teaches, what is it, middle school science. She's got a PhD. And some of these women are just amazing. And what, Da Silva's been at it since, she's been doing it since they were doing, what was that? It was like, she was an aerobics champion in Brazil back in the day. She's been competing for like 25 years. It's just, all these women, incredible.
Those really good fitness girls are some superior athletes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are some great athletes. Think about those insane.
Well, to get shredded like that and then to do those tumbling, right, to do those routines,
right,
and tumbling passes and whatnot.
Right.
It, you know, it's all I can do to stand on stage and look handsome, so...
Right.
Yeah.
They are athletes, man. Oh, give credit where credit is due.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for Tim Gardner Productions. Kind of, as with women's bodybuilding, promoting with Wings of Strength and Maximum Muscle Report covers most all those shows, or all of them. Thanks for carrying the flag for fitness. I know those ladies are a tight-knit sorority of sisters, and they really,
yeah,
appreciate the kind,
yeah, lots of camaraderie there.
Yeah, it really is. Really, it is something different.
Yeah. So
it's different in every other division.
Absolutely. Well, bikini, we haven't mentioned bikini and classic physique. We gotta hit on these. You have any favorites in bikini?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we're moving towards my better half, Sarah, becoming more of the bikini expert nowadays than me. I think bikini was at its best when the ex champ was the best champ of all time, you know, so far, and she really was an athlete. What did she win? Ashley Kaltwasser, did she win 3 or 4 in a row?
Kaltwasser?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think ever since she's been gone, I think there's been a bit of a dip at the top. They're all really good, but I don't think any of them were as good as she was when she was at her best. And I think you have such a... The top 6 or 7 right now are all so different. It's, how do you say who's the best? I mean, there's such a disparity in those top girls. One's a lot more athletic. One's a little more curvy and softer. One's harder and more athletic. One's really, really lean, almost borderline thin. Well, they're all thin, but, you know, really, really lean.
No.
Another one is almost half the size as the top three. It just, to me, at times, I'm looking at an apple and an orange and a plum and a nectarine.
It's really hard to gauge. Oh, absolutely. To me, for that reason, bikini is the most difficult division to, I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Remember Tim describing, Tim described one of the divisions where they had a tie and then a tiebreaker. He described it that same sort of way, but like he noted, he was proud of his judges for following through and the athletes. They changed from prejudging to finals, and they were able to make the break. But there's all this new talent, too. There's Rafaela Milagres, that's won two shows, came in second to Sherry Aspera, who's won, I believe she's mm-hmm. won two, possibly three shows at this point. No, I think she still won just two. But with the point standings issue with these show with bikini and men's physique now, it's a lot. These the competitors are having to compete a lot more, so it's interesting to watch.
Well, they should. Mm-hmm. They should have to. Yeah, well, you're gonna have 30 plus shows. You winning one show is not good enough anymore. Because what if you won the one show?
It's good enough for Jeremy.
Where there's four shows going on around the country, and the top 10 or 15 guys again. I know you could say, how could we say that it's top 10 or 15? So the perennial top 7 to 10 guys who are the top 7 to 10 at the Arnold and Olympia every year now for last year, if you take all those people out of the show and some guy wins the show, you might still not be good enough to be at the Olympia. So the point system was a success. I don't think winning the show means, you know, come on, I mean, let's, right? You got four shows on these two.
Yeah, that's...
You got 20 guys that show. You've got the top 10 guys not competing, so you might be the 30th best men's physique competitor because you won a show in Arkansas on one weekend. Yeah. Again, congratulations on your win, but no, it doesn't mean you're at the Olympia yet.
Well, but by the same...
Stay quiet on that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah. By the same token, that
kid got a great look. He was supposed to be on the map because he got pulled out first call out at the Arnold. You know, he only got his pro card last year. That's huge. This kind of talk goes to what John was talking about. Hey, here's an up and comer. But just like I said, you got pulled out first call outs. You never stand next to the top three. You know, you're not gonna beat the top three, but finishing sixth or seventh, that's a huge deal. You just put yourself on the map for everybody to talk about. You better finish first or second in your next couple shows. Well, I think he finished second or third, and then
what is it? He finished second in Fort Lauderdale, and then
sixth at Europa.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you're sliding backwards, man. You just made a name for yourself, and now you're tarnishing your name. So, John, it goes back to what I'm saying. Hey, as a fan of sports since I'm a small child, give me some consistency. Don't give me a one-hit wonder. No, Stephen Kahle, I'm not calling you a one-hit wonder. I'm just saying, if somebody has one great showing, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Congratulations and kudos. But show it to me again. And then show it to me again against some other competitors.
Yes.
Stand next to some different people. Yes. Now we can start talking. Until then, not really that interested, man. Yeah. It's just a story for the week.
Yeah, Steve does great on social media. You know, his images look just crazy. What do you think of that impact on the sport, where you've got guys that they don't place all that well, but they've got 5 million followers. I mean,
internet stars. It doesn't impact the sport. It doesn't impact their placing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't impact their placing. You think Steve Weinberger gives a shit if you've got 5,000 followers or 500,000 followers?
Right.
Now, is it good for business to have more people with bigger followings doing better? Well, sure. But anybody who says, Sadiq does well because of his following, or, you know, so-and-so does well because of their following, please stop making excuses.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think that...
Gary Udit does not follow you on social media, Stephen Kahle. He doesn't know if you've got 500 or 5,000 followers. You know what I mean? Doesn't care.
I can attest to that. He don't at all.
No. Those guys have way too much integrity and have been around for way too long. for anyone to think that they're going to give a shit about how many followers you have or how many fans you brought with you in the seat. Really? Come on, people.
No, that's actually a pretty good segue. We've, you know, mentioned Sadiq here. What do you think about him as a classic competitor and just, you know, kind of the classic division on the whole?
I think classic Sadiq division is going to be the most exciting division for the next 5 years here. The great division.
And who are... And again, some of your favorites, I would imagine, are those leaders of the new school, I call them. People like Terrence Ruffin and Chris Bumstead.
People don't know, but Breon's not a young man, but he looks young. But Breon is just, I mean, he is a champ. He's got great physique. He presents himself well. He does great interviews. His family hangs out with him. He puts a lot of time and effort into his posing. His routines are artistic to watch. He's a champion. He's an absolute
See him repeating
champion.
This year?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that back looks hard to beat. That back particularly.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a division where it's going to be hard to repeat and it'll be, I don't think you'll see a lot of the same guys winning year in and year out. I think you'll have five or six or seven guys, and those guys will change, but every couple of years you'll see a different guy at the top. Because I think it's such a, here, you got to remember, so in bodybuilding, you just kept getting bigger. You keep getting, you know, you get bigger, you get harder, you get leaner, you get tighter, you get more dense, old, hard-looking muscle. Well, there's a cap. So in a few years, you're going to have a whole generation of classic physique guys who are going to be about at their ceiling. For their height and their weight, they're going to be about the best they look. They're going to top out at their weight. They're going to top out at balancing their structure, knowing, hey, I can put on a little more here and a little more there. And that will be the best that they're going to be. And that's going to continue to happen. So that's why it's always going to be interesting. Because a guy who's 5'3", against a guy who's 5'8", against a guy who's 6 foot, against a guy who's 6'2", you're going to have a lot of different looks, man. And the genetic makeup is going to make a big difference once you got guys that are topped out. Once you got guys who've hit their ceiling. And then it's going to be, did you nail it on the head this show or not? I think it's going to be very interesting.
To me, it's
kind of... Now, where will we see...
Well, I was just going to say, to me, it's kind of interesting, that analysis, when you consider the crossover from bodybuilding. Obviously, you've got... these legacy bodybuilders like Danny Hester, maybe that whole thing is going to change in terms of, but you've still got guys that are crossing over from bodybuilding to classic.
Well, sure.
So, you know.
And it's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got a couple of bodybuilding divisions where, so if you're a welterweight, if you're a middleweight, if you're a light heavyweight, you've got two places you're going to go. You're either going to go to the 212 division, or you're going to go to classic physique, because you're never going to be an open bodybuilder. This is not going to happen.
Yeah, you can't.
Your career's
right.
over.
No.
So you're going to go. You're either depending on your height, depending on how big or small your waist is, depending on, you know, your back and your leg. You're either going to go 212 or you're going to go classic, and then you're also going to get a lot of guys who are very talented in at the regional level right now, who could have been great bodybuilders or could have been great men's physique competitors or whatever, but now that classic is there, they all want to be classic physique guys. So you're going to have a more talent go to that division over the next 5 years. So you're going to get it from everywhere, man. Yeah. You're going to get it from everywhere.
Do you think the
That's
numbers...
That's going to be... Yeah.
Do the numbers need to change in terms... Do you like what they did this year with the...
Yeah, it was a necessity. And I could see them perhaps in one or two more years upping the IFBB weight maybe another 5 to 7 pounds, you know, as the division continues to grow. There's room for them to up the weight limit a little bit more. I don't think more than 10 pounds, but maybe another 5 to 7, and then maybe another, let's say they did it 5 next year or the year after, and then 2 or 3 years down the road they did it another 5, or if they did 7 and 3, but whatever the combination might be over the next 5 years, I could see it going up 10 more pounds and then stopping there. I think it's at a good place right now, because you need to let the guys grow into the division and into the division, into their frames. Yeah.
I've heard some calculus on the MPC level that the taller guys are kind of disadvantaged because there aren't as many of them.
You got no leg.
Yeah. Well.
The weight favors them, because they can get to be big, but it's just like in bodybuilding. What happens to guys that are taller? You can't put on enough mass.
Right.
So traditionally, their frame can hold more muscle, so usually they're either deficient in the legs or in the back, generally speaking.
Right.
And those are two of the most... Are there two more important body parts in bodybuilding? No.
Right.
No.
Whether you're an open bodybuilder, a 212 bodybuilder, or a classic physique guy, the two most important body parts are legs and back.
Mm-hmm. But I don't.
And to me, that's why in classic, it's been more. You've seen more bodybuilders do well as opposed to physique guys that have crossed over.
Well, let's be honest.
The density just looks different.
Right. Well, of course. Here. How many men's physique guys have we heard? Oh, cool, classic is out. I'll take a year off and put on legs. You're gonna
It's different. Yeah, it's different. No. It's just the muscle just looks differently. I haven't really seen anybody to set the industry on fire that's done that.
We're bodybuilders, and legs have been the most important body part or the second most important body part for years and years and years.
For quite some time. Right.
They're gonna do it in a year? Come on.
Okay.
And a lot of times, they'll weigh the same. The weight will look the same, but it'll look totally different,
The only guys who are going to, who's going to be able to do it really well? Brandon Hendrickson.
Yeah, I was going to say we've come full circle because that's what Andre said.
Because we've been working on it for years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask you, I was like, okay, I got Andre's comment ringing in my ear that Brandon said last year at the Olympia it didn't matter because he was going to do classic this year, but what was that about? You're really looking at classic with Brandon?
Well, we were going to make the change, and Brandon came to me and said, hey, I want to go after it one more year.
Okay.
We were going to make the change.
Oh, wow. But,
yeah. And
but at some point... We will see him.
At some point, you will definitively see Brandon Hendrickson move to classic physique. And I'm glad we waited.
That's interesting.
And we make that move. So Brandon Hendrickson, when he makes the move, is not going to go from a top 3 men's physique competitor to a top 10 classic physique guy.
Yeah.
When we move to classic physique, you will see his first call-outs at the Arnold and at the Olympia. That's how good he's going to be when we make the move.
Yeah, that's an interesting prediction. Or you're either crazy you're crazy or a genius, man.
Why am I crazy? We've been banging out legs like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We've been planning this for years, guys. This isn't something we decided last year. We decided last year we were finally going to make the move, and he decided let's postpone it one more year. That's fine.
Well, now you've already predicted on the show.
I'm super excited.
You predicted on the show that he can win, or he will win, the Olympia for men's physique. Now, if you were to win the Olympia, you would actually still consider, would you hold off?
No, then he'd have to stay another year.
Okay.
He's not going to vacate the title. But again, when he moves to classic, he will be ready to win shows, and he will be ready to be compared with the top six or seven guys in the world in that division.
Well, that's,
he's not gonna go into classic and be the 13th or 14th best classic physique guy. Not gonna happen.
Like Jennifer Taylor.
How good.
Yeah.
That's how good he's gonna be.
Yeah, like Jennifer Taylor did with switching from figure
to
women's physique.
Yeah, to go from one division to the other. And
exactly.
Now, you know, that's an interesting perception on men's physique being that close to classic, and that the competitors could be that
high. They're lightweight. They're light years apart.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
That's why Travalis and I were just saying, I laughed the last couple of years.
Looking to lose weight, gain muscle, lean out, bulk out? Well, I do it all. Personal service, detailed workouts, and most of all, results. So, you have an upcoming wedding, cruise, class reunion, or just adopting a healthier lifestyle? Hit me up. I'm at Travalis at Gmail. Or on social media, Instagram, IFBB Pro, Travalis Blunt, or Travalis Blunt on Facebook. Hop in my DM or message me.
Well, I'm not on stage competing against the very best bodies in the world.
A competitor can be that close in both, which I think should should shut up some of the critics of men's physique. Say, they got no way.
Well, the only reason Brandon's going to be
Look for them on Facebook and IG.
That makes sense. So where a lot of men's guys are having their training.
You think it's going to take, right?
They're off
a year, 18 months. Yeah.
Right. We have been gauging things as if he's a classic physique competitor for three quarters of a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure, there are some months where we can't do that because it could take away from men's physique. But if we were to say 9 out of the 12 months, our focus is as if we were a classic physique competitor.
Hmm.
Wow. I learned a lot this interview.
Yeah. Hmm. When I work with my athletes, I tend to take on the mentality of we're going to be together for a while, and obviously we know that doesn't happen with a lot of people this day and age. But you'd be surprised. There's quite a few that it does happen with, and when that does happen, you can be so much better. Because Travalis, imagine if you were just an athlete and you had a coach who was looking at the immediate goal, so the short picture, the medium picture, and the big picture, the long game. And he was always putting together the plans for you to be successful today.
To put you in a position to be successful
next month, but to also be successful next year. That puts you way ahead as an athlete, and that's what I do.
Have a vision.
No. Absolute vision. Yeah. An absolute vision. You guys are going to see, I've got a figure girl who's going to be doing the Pittsburgh Pro, who she's not 100% for Pittsburgh, and I'll put that on me because we're planning on doing a gauntlet of shows here, and it's the first time in her career where she will compete, you know, 3, 4, 5 times in 1 year.
Multiple times, right.
And
that's an adjustment.
And this is her pro debut. But I tell you what, I'll say it now. She'll be at the Olympics.
This is a name we should
know.
Next year.
Now, who is this
guy? You made some bold predictions tonight.
hey, you know, hey, but if you ain't gonna go out there, well,
I can only imagine how they're gonna be received. can you go ahead and give us? Oh, I know that. can you give us the contact information, like the website?
Of what?
Where we can find information about Underground Athletes and Maximum Muscle Report.
Oh, well, so Maximum Muscle Report, you just go to www.maximummusclereport.com, and we've got everything on there. Underground Athletes, I actually still haven't launched the website. I'm so busy with everything else. Most of the athletes that I bring on are somebody knew somebody else. And I could, we could launch a website, which I eventually will, but I like the hands-on. I like the personal touch, and those relationships. I still thoroughly enjoy it. Whether somebody is in Phoenix, or somebody's in the UK, or somebody's here in Chicago. I love communicating with people, and I love being a part of their journey. So, but underground_athletes on Instagram, they can find us there as well.
Awesome. I'm sorry. And what's next for a Maximum Muscle Report? What show will you guys be at next?
We will be at the Pittsburgh Pro. We leave tomorrow.
Okay. The home of American bodybuilding.
Absolutely. You know, it's a privilege to me. It's a privilege and an honor to go and be in the press pit at the Pittsburgh Pro.
Absolutely.
That venue, you know, that stage, everyone who's there, you know, what it means. That show's been going on since, what, the 70s, John, I believe?
Yeah.
Late 60s or 70s. I mean, it's historic. Yeah. And I competed on that stage almost a decade ago myself, and now I get to sit in the press pit, and man, I'm honored. I'm stoked to be in the press pit at that show.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you might try to get an interview with JM actually about the history. He has a ton of information. I remember shooting an interview with him, Bob Chick. Probably 2014 for muscular development about that. It was amazing. James been in the thick of it since he was a kid, so it's, you know, he has interesting take on it. So along with that.
But another, you see, that's the thing. So Jim Mannion, you know, really the business model and the brains behind everything, but you know, I don't think enough gets talked about JM. You know, he's the boots on the ground, man. He's the media. He's the interpersonal connections to everybody. He knows what's going on. He's got his finger on the pulse. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's understanding. He listens. He's fair. He's funny. You know, I mean, what a combination. JM, it doesn't get more fair and down to earth than JM Mannion. It just really doesn't. So,
absolutely.
Our sport's in great hands, man. Our sport's in great hands. Got good thing going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's just, it's in his blood. He doesn't know any different.
Yeah. Right.
And in that vein, you know, and Tyler coming up right behind him. So, yeah, we're in great shape.
Right. Absolutely. So now you get the best, you know, Tyler's going to grow up with the best of both worlds. Some of grandpa and some of dad, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
that's a pretty nice way to grow up and to learn from and to follow and then to create his own path and take us into, you know, the next generation whenever that time finally comes. Whether anybody knows Tyler or not, you have to say, well, he's the son of JM and he's the grandson of Jim, and you look at the two of them. So if Tyler can be a combination of the two of them, we're incredible. great hand. You know?
The future is bright.
Yeah. There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Aside from his judging credentials, I'm most familiar with his wrestling credentials, so I wouldn't want to disagree with him too heartily on most anything, because he's a hell of a wrestler.
hey, and he's just another regular Joe. You know, when we were out there, you know, we're in Pittsburgh 3-4 times a year every year, and oftentimes we go to the gym over there and meet up with JM, and Tyler's there a lot. One day, JM was out shooting Sarah outside. It was a beautiful day, and one of Tyler's old college buddies were there. And I don't even know what we started talking about. JM was done filming me, and it was Tyler, myself, and one of his buddies. And we talked sports for about an hour, just non-stop, talking about Major League Baseball and the NFL. And it was just like a couple of us sitting around. So he's no different than anyone else, man.
Yeah, that's good. We look forward to getting more media coverage of him and getting his views and perspectives on things. That's going to be a whole other world of interesting topics for sure. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for spending the time with us today, Mandis.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
This turned into a movie length sort of thing here. We might have to break this up.
Lots of good information, and I think, you know, some things that are really going to, you know, set the industry abuzz.
For the best look on stage and most convenient, hassle-free service for your bodybuilding fitness event spray tan, look no farther than Hotspot Competition Tanning. Elisa and her crew have perfected their service at contests throughout Florida and beyond with the recognition and support of the majority of athletes and event promoters. Visit hotspotcompetitiontanning.com to schedule your competition airbrush spray tanning and competition makeup and hair appointments.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really been focusing on and trying to bring up this season is my middle back, my rhomboids. Shout out to Dr. Green over at Performance Driven Chiropractic here in Orlando, Florida. If you're in need of any work, guys, go ahead and pop in. Tell them that Travalis Blunt sent you. They are literally chiropractic savants. You just simply have to describe the problem. You know, they kind of get to touch it and feeling around and instantly find it and diagnose it and get you on the right track. And they've made me better in a matter of weeks. So I'm sure they can help you also. But I need it for my rhomboids to pop. And, you know, they've been working with the scraping and some cupping and all of these different procedures to really, you know, help me to be the best that I can be. So, yeah, if you're ever in need of any work, go and holler at Dr. Green over at Performance Driven.